again. The Gemara in Chulin in the first parak, Daf Tes, Daf Yud, has a long discussion. How do you know from Chumash, what is the Mokar in the Pasuk, that there's an institution of Chazaka? The word Chazaka, the Prima Godim writes in his Psicha Kolelis, his general introduction to Orach Chaim, which is really not an introduction to Orach Chaim, it's an introduction to all of Torah Shebaal Peh. So he writes in one place that the term Chazaka, the word Chazaka, appears in the Gemara with five or six different meanings, and it shouldn't be confused. Sometimes we talk about Chazaka al Chaver she'ene moitzi mitachas yada dover she'ene mesukan. The Gemara has over here Chazaka al Chaver means it's a ruba deleisa kamon. Or Chazaka, the first sugim bava basa ein adam pareya tochs manoi. If they borrowed $1,000 that I have a right to use for a year, the likelihood is I'm not going to pay the money back in the middle of the year. I'll wait till the end of the year. A normal person doesn't pay back the chayiv tochs manoi. If I can still use the money, I'll use it for the maximum amount of time. So the word Chazaka sometimes just means a ruba deleisa kamon. A lot of times the word Chazaka just means status quo. I had a kosher piece of meat sitting in the refrigerator, and then on one shelf, on the second shelf, then the shelf above it, I put the container of milk. Didn't realize the container of milk is dripping. And now I come tomorrow afternoon, I'm ready to cook supper, and I find that the flesh is sitting in a bowl of milk. It's soaking in milk. So min ha-Torah basa b'chol is only also derech bishul. I say, if the meat was soaking for 24 hours in the milk, so that part of the meat that's soaking becomes treif midirabanan. It doesn't help if I'll squeeze out all the milk. It becomes treif midirabanan because kavish kamavushal. But it's only if it's soaking for 24 hours. I don't know how long it's soaking. I know when I put the milk in longer than 24 hours, I don't know if it was leaking from the very outset, or I don't know if it's leaking for 24 hours or for less than 24 hours. So strictly speaking, since the meat was kosher when I put it into the refrigerator, ashtalav cheskas kasher, I assume it's still kosher. I'm not sure whether it was soaking in milk for 24 hours. If I know bevadai, then kovish kemivushal, the meat will be awesome, and meat will be awesome, the milk will be awesome, the rabban. Kovish kemivushal on both directions. The milk makes the meat treif, and the meat makes the milk treif, basa b'cholom. But if I'm not sure how long it is a possibility, maybe yes, maybe no, then ishtalav chazaka. That's the word chazaka. Then you have chazaka, there's another concept, chazaka. If, what's a chazaka? We did a bris milah on one baby and the baby died, the second baby, a third baby. So there's a machleg satanam, betrays him, they have a chazaka, betlas him, they have a chazaka. How many times? We don't know whether the mother carries hemophilia. And hemophilia may appear in all of the babies. They may all die from the bris milah. If you have hemophilia, you can't. The blood doesn't clot. But it's a strange thing. It's not so common. So how many times does such a strange event have to repeat itself that it should be considered a suffix? If only one baby dies after the bris milah, it's not even a suffix. Maybe the mother was a carrier of hemophilia. If two babies die, then it's a machlokes satanaim, Rebbe and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, whether it betrays him, they have a chazaka, or betlas him, they have a chazaka. How often does something have to repeat itself that it should create a latest suffix that maybe there's something going on? All you need is a suffix. If there's a suffix, sakona, then you already don't fulfill the mitzvah of milah. Then the word chazaka has another meaning. Let's say chazaka. I'm a muchzak an mamon. We have a din hamotzi mechavera, all of haraya. Whoever's holding on to the money, that's how they say in English, possession is 9/10 of the law. That's halacha. And that hamotzi mechavera, all of haraya. If I'm holding on to money, it's birshusi. That's the ksoises, that the definition of muchzak means if it's birshusi. So if I'm holding on to the mamon and you want to be motzi the mamon from me, so we paskin based on a pasuk. We paskin that roiv is not good enough. And holcha b'mamon achar haroiv. Roiv is not good enough to be motzi mamon from a person who's a muksa. So the word chazaka has different meanings in different contexts. But we're going to talk about chazaka status quo. That's chazaka kamaisa. Chazaka kamaisa. I know that yesterday when I put the meat in the refrigerator, the meat was kosher. Now I don't know whether it changed because I put the container of milk directly above it. And today I find that the meat is sitting in the bowl together with a lot of soaking in the milk. I don't know, has it been soaking for less than 24 hours or for more? So since the meat, I know the meat was kosher yesterday when I first put it in, and there is a possibility that it's only soaking for less than 24 hours. So I say it's muta because the chazoka, the meat is becheskaset. That's called chazoka de meikora. Then the chazoka de hashto. The Gemara tells a story in Kiddushin. A man was mekadosh an ish, and he gave her a little trinket. And we don't know whether the trinket that he gave her sells for a shava pruta or less than a shava pruta. The kiddushin is only good b'shava kesef. If shava kesef is a shava pruta or above, if it's less than a shava pruta, then it's not good for kiddushin, not sufficient. So we don't know. He was mekadosh the ish a month ago. We don't know. No one has any records how much this trinket sold for a month ago. But today we know that it sells for less than a shava pruta. So if the Kedushin would have occurred today, we would assume that it's not chal, because they sell five for a penny. Five for a penny is less than a shava pruta. How much is a shava pruta? That's a different discussion. Shava pruta doesn't mean the smallest coin in the monetary system. The Gemara had a havamina in Kedushin on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara had a havamina to think whatever is the smallest coin in the monetary system in that particular country is considered a pruta. Then the Gemara proves that it's not correct. So how much is a shava pruta? So that's a discussion for some other time. How much is considered a shava pruta? But the shava pruta used to be less than a penny, and now for many years it's already more than a penny, between 1 and 2 pennies. It's much more than it used to be. It has to do with the value of silver. So the man was mekadosh an ish with a trinket a month ago. We have no record how much the trinket sold for a month ago, but today we know that it sells for less than a shava pruta. So the Gemara says, if I see today that it doesn't have shava pruta, I say that's chazoka da hashta going backwards. There's chazoka de meikori going forwards. I know that the meat was kosher when I put it in the refrigerator. I don't know whether it was soaking in the milk for 24 hours. There's a possibility that yes, possibility that no. So I say chazok and the meikara, the status quo, yesterday the meat was kosher, I have the right to assume it's still kosher. It's not a roiv, it's not a birur, it's a din hanhoge. If you don't know what the facts are, you follow status quo. So that's a status quo. Whatever the status was yesterday or last week, we assume that it didn't change. What if we don't know what the status was yesterday, but we know what the status is today? We're trying to ascertain, what was the status a month ago? The man was mekadosh an ish a month ago with this trinket. So since today we know that it's worth less than a shava pruta, we don't know if anything changed. So we have the right to assume, Rabbi Kivege writes in one place, chazoka de hashta, working backwards, is the same as chazoka mekar, working forwards. Both of them are based on the same idea. You assume that nothing changed. So whatever the situation was yesterday, we assume it's still the same today. If the situation is such today, we assume it was the same yesterday and nothing changed. So there are different kinds of chazok. So this Gemara is going to be discussing what do you do when there's a conflict between Ruba and Chazoka. The Gemara learns that from other psukim in Chulin Daf Tes and Chulin Daf Yud. Minoha milsa dam rachmana zil basa dam rabbanan. How do the rabbis know the din? Zil basa ruba, you follow whatever the probability is, right? Mar said, based on the pasuk, acharam lahatas, the original pasuk is not talking about probability. The original pasuk is talking, if there's a bezdin of three dayanim and there's a split vote, two say chayv and one says potter, it's how do you know you go basa raiv? So the pasuk says, acharam lahatas. Or in Shulchan Aruch, the Vilna Gaon applies it to the following case, applies that pasuk to the following case. You have a company where there are shutfim. Let's say there are 10 shutfim in the company, and there's a machlokes, which direction we should go. So six of the shutfim hold in one direction, and 4 shutfim hold in the other direction. They insist, you have to go our way. We don't agree with you. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from a Tosefta and Bava Basra that you go basarayv. So the Vilna Gaon says, what's the mocker for the Tosefta? How does a Tosefta know that that din is so? So he said, the pasuk chumash acharam lahatas doesn't only apply to a bezna of 23 where there's a split vote, or a bezna of 3 dini mamonos where there's a split vote. If there's a shutfis, you have 25 shutfim. You have a corporation, you have 25,000 shutfim. So you go basarayv, whatever the 51% say in one direction. You can't cater to each and every individual person. That's what a shutfis is all about. You have to follow the right. The majority rules. Majority wins. So we know you go basar roiv. We know you go basar chazakeh. The question is, what if there's a conflict? What if there's a contradiction between what the roiv tells you and the chazakeh tells you? So we mentioned yesterday that the Gemara says in the end of Yevamos, this is a topic that comes up in the end of Yevamos a lot. And the Kiddushin comes up. So the Gemara said there's a machlokes of Meir and a Chachamim, whether chashina lemiyuta or loy chashina lemiyuta. So the Gemara says, Rav Meir holds chashina lemiyuta. Why? Because he holds that the miyut is command the isei dami. You should keep in mind that there is a miyut against the Rav. And the Chachamim say, loy chashina lemiyuta, because miyut command the isei dami. What are they fighting about? Whether miyut command the isei dami, miyut command the isei dami. Do you ignore the miyut? You don't have to be concerned about it, or you have no right to ignore it because the miyut is staring you in the face. What are they fighting about? So the pashtus is they're arguing. And then the Gemara says, Rameh chayish l'miyuta, the first daf in Gittin, daf beis on the beis. Gemara says, when does Rameh hold chashina l'miyuta? Only when there's a miyut hamotzeh. But if it's a miyuta de miyuta, even Rameh holds lo chashina l'miyuta. Miyuta de miyuta, even Rameh holds lo chashina l'miyuta. So what are they fighting about over there? So the pashtus is the way the Pnei Yeshua writes in the Kuntra Sachrein. Pnei Yeshua gave shiurim. So he wrote down his chidushim, and then when he would review the perek, he would write additional he'oris at the end of the perek. That's called the Kuntra Sachrein on the first perek in Ksubas on Daf Tes, when the Gemara talks about Sfek Sveke, Sfek Tachtov, Sfek Enet Tachtov, Enet Slama Tachtov, Shema B'yonis, Shema B'rotzim. So he talks a little bit. He writes that he wrote a whole sefer, which we don't have. He wrote a whole sefer about Ruba v'Chazaka, along the lines like the Shev Shmaitze. Shev Shmaitze was written after the Pnei Yeshua. Shev Shmaitze, and the Ktzois quotes a lot from the Pnei Yeshua. So he said, Pnei Yeshua wrote a sefer on Ruba v'Chazaka, but we don't have it. So this piece he has in the Kuntri Sachran on the first parak in Ksubis, and after he explains, why do we hold like the Chachamim? Whenever there's a conflict between Ruba v'Chazaka, so we say Ruba Odif. The Rav leads you in one direction, Chazaka tells you in the other direction. Why did we decide? Rav Meir holds that it's Shkulim, Ruba v'Chazaka. Rav pulls in one direction, Chazaka pulls in the other direction. So it's a Sofek Ashokol. So it's a Sofek. You have to go to Chumrah. And the Rabbana disagree. They say, no, Ruba v'Chazaka, Ruba Arif. What's the issue? So he explains that Chazaka is a Din Hanhoge. Chazaka is not a beer. The Torah says, whenever you're not sure what the facts of the case are, you have the right to act as if you don't really know what the facts are. You should act as if the situation didn't change. Whatever the situation was yesterday, status quo, we have the right to assume it didn't change, and I can act accordingly, that nothing changed. But Raiv is a likelihood, a probability. It's a mathematical probability. So Rav is considered a birur. So all the dini hanhoge, if you have chazaka as a din, how to be noig when you don't know what the facts are. But if you have ruba chazaka, Rav pulls in one direction. Rav is telling you what the facts are. So then the whole din of chazaka doesn't apply. Chazaka as a din hanhoge when you don't know what the facts are. So he said, that's the reason for the Chachamim. The Chachamim hold Ruba v'Chazaka, Ruba Adif, because the Rav is Mevar, the facts of the case. Chazaka is just a Dinan Hogam, and you don't know what the facts are. He do know what the facts are. So why does Rav Meir hold Ruba v'Chazaka, Ashkulim? Because he holds that Rav is only considered a Mevarer if there's a Miyuta, the Miyuta against it. But if it's less, it's not 99.5. It's not 99.5. That's Miyuta, the Miyuta against it. If you have, let's say, 95% vadois, so Rav Meir holds that miut is commanded yisei dami, and Rav is also only a din hanhoge. So if you have ruba b'chazaka, Rav is a din hanhoge, and chazaka is a din hanhoge. So Rav Meir holds that it's shkulim, but the Rabbana hold not only in the case of miuta de miuta, do they hold that Rav is a mevarer. They hold even that there's not a miuta in the miuta. If you have 90%, 95%, 90% vadois, it's also called, it's also considered a birur. And whenever you have a conflict between a birur and a dina hanhoge, so the dina hanhoge don't apply if you know what the facts of the case are. So roiv is mevar the facts of the case. So the Gemara here on Tesamen Aleph discusses a topic which the Gemara calls it ein safik moitzi midei vadei. The expression has different meanings in different sugyas. This whole sugya that appears here is repeated in another two masechtas, in Nida, on Daf Tezvav, it says, and it's also in Avodah Zarah. Where is it? Avodah Zarah, Daf Mem Aleph. So the Gemara discusses the topic of Ein Sofing Vetzim Midevadai, what do the words mean? So Rashi and Tesis explain, we're talking about a case of Ruba v'Chazaka. The Roy pulls you in one direction, Chazaka pulls you in the other direction. But there's a Roy Bari and there's a Roy Garua. A Roy Bari means a Gesunter Roy, a healthy base ratio Yud Aleph. A healthy Roy, if you have 51% against 49%, that's a Roy Garua. Alpidin, it's a Roy, but it's only a Roy Garua. So 51% is a Roy, but that's only a Din Hanhoge. You can't say that that's a Birur, such a Gevaldige Birur. 51% of it's enough to become president of the United States. Okay? But it's not enough to be considered a birur. So in order to be considered a birur, you have to have a roi bari. So that's what the Gemara says. Ein sofik moitzi midevada. Sofik doesn't, in the context of our Gemara, sofik means if you have a roi garua. Contradicting avada means a chazaka. Yesterday, the status was like this. So based on chazaka, I should say status quo stayed the same. But there's a roi garua, there's a roi of 55%, 60%. 65%. 65%. It's not so gewaldic. So that's a Rav Garua. I can understand that 51% for sure is a Rav Garua. Even 60% is a Rav Garua. So if you have a Rav Garua contradicted by Chazaka, it's Shkulim. Even the Rabbana would say, Ein Sofik Moitzi Midevada. A Rav Garua will not be out of Vadai of a Chazaka. Even though Ruba Vachazaka, Ruba Odif, that's only if it's a Roy Bari, a Gesunter Roy, a healthy Roy, 95% Roy, 90% Roy. But if it's a Roy Garua, it's only a Roy of 55%, 60%. So then a Roy Garua contradicted by Chazakas, they're both considered Dine Hanhoge and Shkulam Haim, so you treat it like a suffix. So the Gemara is going to discuss different examples of cases. So the topic comes up because of our Mishnah. Mishnah and Testament Aleph states, a person finishes Bedikas Chometz, does he have to be concerned? Every so often, there are weasels in our apartments. This doesn't happen. Once in a while, there's a mouse. Okay. Once in a long while, there's a rat. Okay. But in the days of the Gemara, they had dirt floors. They didn't have, all the holes of the house were not sealed up by us. They're careful to close all the holes. So you don't have any rats, you don't have any animals running around in the apartment. But in the days of Gemara, it would be a common thing to see an animal running in the apartment. So the Mishnah says, after I finish my Bedikas Chometz, then I go to sleep. Do I have to be concerned in the morning on Yud-Daled Nissen that maybe a chulda came after I finish Bedikas Chometz? I learn in the yeshiva. So I go home early on Yud-Gimel Nissen, and I do Bedikas Chometz right after Tzeisik HaChavim. The next door neighbor goes to work. He doesn't go to yeshiva. So he comes home at 9:30 at night. He does Bedikah at 9:30. So maybe his home, when I finish the Bedikas Chometz in my home, so I disposed of all the Chometz in my, any Chometz I have left is in a bag and it's tied up. So after I finish Bedikas Chometz in my home, do I have to be concerned that later I went to sleep? When I went to sleep, maybe there was a weasel carrying chametz from the next door neighbor's apartment, which he didn't yet buy the chametz. I went to sleep before he even came home from work on Yud Gimel Nissen. So do I have to be concerned? Shemagir Rachulda from his apartment to my apartment. So Mishnah says, Ein choshishim, you're not mechuyev to be choshish. So the Gemara makes a diuk. You don't have to be choshish, time of the loy chazina. Because the shokal, we didn't see any weasel taking chametz from the neighbor's apartment, which is a dying loy nivdak, bringing a slice of bread into my pot. Oh, chazinan. But if you did see chazina the shokal, if you did see that a chulda, an animal, brought a piece of bread from the neighbor's apartment into my apartment, then I have to do the bedikas chametz all over again. So Gemara asks, why? Why don't you have the right to assume that the chulda ate up the piece of bread? It brought the piece of bread into the apartment, ate it up. The rive is that the mice will eat up the bread. the chulda will eat up the bread. I think the right by mice is that may nibble a little bit of bread. They're not going to eat a whole piece of bread, but apparently a chulda, a weasel, is a bigger animal. So the Gemara says, why shouldn't I have the right to follow the roiv, the ruba de leisa kamon, that the weasel ate up the bread? From the Mishnah, it would appear, you don't have to be, have chalomis, you don't have to be concerned, maybe that's what happened. You don't have to have a nightmare, maybe an animal came, but if he saw that an animal did bring chametz from another apartment that was a dain lay nivdak into my apartment, then I'm mechuyev to be bari chametz all over again in my own apartment. So Gemara says, why don't you say ruba b'chazaka, ruba odif? The roiv pamim, the weasel will eat up the whole piece of bread that it was carrying. So the Gemara says, the answer, the Gemara gives different answers. Gemara suggests maybe the roiv is not such a gevaldig roiv. It's not a roiv of 95%. It's a roiv of 80%. So it's a roiv garua. So when you have, maybe it's only a roiv of 70%. The Gemara doesn't tell you the percentages here, but that's what it's based on. If you have a roiv garua, let's say a roiv of 65% or 70%, that contradicts the chazaka. The apartment is becheskas, that I know for a fact that the weasel brought, first I was by the chametz, then I saw for a fact the weasel brought a slice of chametz into the apartment. So now the apartment is becheskas that it has chametz in it, because I saw the weasel bring the chametz in. I just don't know. Do I have to look over a whole apartment again, or do I have the right to assume the ruby de come on, that the weasel ate up all of the chametz? So the right is the weasels will eat the whole slice of chametz that it's going to bring in with all the crumbs. It'll eat everything up. But since the rive is only a rive of 65-70%, it's not a rive of 95%, so it's a rive garua. So then the Gemara says, "En tzafik meitzim idei vada." You have to be bodik all over again, because the rive that the chulda most probably ate everything up isn't strong enough to beat out the chazoke. Such a rive is only a din hanhoge, it's not a birur. And the whole reason why ruba v'chazoke ruba is because the rive is a birur. Here the rive is only a din hanhoge, so ruba v'chazoke ashkulim, both din hanhoge. So it's a suffix, maybe there's still chametz, so you have to be bodik all over again. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara quote, the Gemara was asking Akasha from a Mishnah and a Holos. So Rashi, we started with the Rashi a little bit yesterday. There is a machloikas Reb Shimon bar Yochai and the Chachamim regarding Meisei Akum, whether they're metami ba'ohel or not. Everyone agrees they're metami b'maga u'b'masa. Maga means if I touch the dead body. Masa means, let's say, I'm wearing gloves or the dead body has clothing on. So I carry the dead body, but I wasn't touching the basar of the dead body. I wasn't touching the skin. There are chatzitzes over here. Either I'm wearing gloves, or either with both. I'm wearing gloves and the dead body has pajamas on or he has clothing on, so I'm not touching the body. I'm just carrying it. So that's masa. So meses metame b'mago u'b'masa. And then there's a macha, even mesei akum, metame b'mago u'b'masa, and you have to wait 7 days and you need hazor shlishi shvi from paraduma water. And then after the Azor Shlishi Shvi from the Paraduma water, then you can begin to go to mikveh. Then you can discuss going to mikveh. A lot of people don't realize when you do Azor Shlishi Shvi, the person is still tummy. He has to go to mikveh. The only way to become Torah is by mikveh. But unlike other tumas, that all you have to do is go to the mikveh. By Meisei, by Tumas Meis, you need Azor Shlishi Shvi from the Paraduma water, and then you're able to go to the mikveh. So the Tanoim did not think highly of the Nochrim. The Nochrim in their generation were always, even single Nochri would be running around with girls, even if they're not married. And we always have to, they didn't know how to practice birth control. So you always have to be concerned, Meduras ha'akum tameim. You have to be concerned an apartment where a Nochri lived, it doesn't apply to our apartments. We have wooden floors, or you have carpet on the floor, you have linoleum on the floor, you have something. We're talking about a dirt floor apartment. So we're concerned, even though the Nochri who lived here was a single fellow, maybe he brought his girlfriend in, maybe he made the girlfriend pregnant, and she had a miscarriage. And a miscarriage of a baby is only, a mace is metame, has a din of a mace, only if the pregnancy was at least something over 40 days. You have to have a tzuras havlad. A 40-day pregnancy, the whole uber, the whole fetus is only an inch by an inch. It's very tiny. But that inch by an inch, after 43 days, 44 days, it's a few days after 40 days. So when you go to the baby doctor's office, they have books with pictures of what the fetus looks like after 43, 44 days. It looks like a little gingerbread man. You can see the tzuras havlad. On a little inch-by-inch piece of flesh, you can see there's a tzuras havlad. So if a woman has a miscarriage before 40 days, or really before 43 days, but the Gemara, the Mishnah always says 40 days, because less than 40 days for sure is nothing. More than 40 days, you start discussing whether it had a tzuras havlad. So if a woman has a miscarriage after there was already a pregnancy of a tzuras havlad of 44 days or so, so then there's a tumas meis. There's no din of Avelis. There's no din of Shiva. Avelis only is if the person was alive and then he died. But if it's a stillborn baby, it was never alive in the first place, then one doesn't observe Avelis. But there is a din of Tumas Meis. But if it's only a little piece of flesh, it doesn't even have a Tzuras Havlad. It was less than 43, 44 days. For sure, there was no Tzuras Havlad. There's a Machlokes HaTanaim. Is the same true for a baby boy, baby girl, whether the fetus is male or female, or does it make a difference? Because in the Chumash, you have the dinim of Yoledes. So if a woman is Yoledes Zachar, so there's a malos of 40 days after. If the woman is Yoledes Nekeva, there's a malos of 80 days after. So by Yoledes Zachar, the malos, the first 7 days is you make tumah, even if there's no dam at all. It's highly unlikely there isn't going to be dam. When a baby is born, so the baby rips out from the lining of the mother, of the rechem. So there's always going to be dam. There's a whole bucket full of dam in the hospital whenever a woman gives birth to a baby. But the Gemara says, theoretically, even if there will be a leida yeveshta, a dry leida, when no dam was ripped out at all, still the woman would be tmeya for 7 days. She has to go to mikveh. She doesn't become tohar without going to the mikveh. And then the next 33 days, are you made tohar. What that means is, even if she has a riyaz dam, maritome, it's tohar. It's not mitameher, provided she went to the mikveh before. She has to go to mikveh after the 7 days. And if she has yoledes nekeva, then she's tmeah for 14 days, even if it's lady yeveshta, even if there's no dam. And then and then the next 66 days, instead of just being 33 days yimei tohar, it's going to be 66 days of yimei tohar, that even if she has dam, real dam, mara odam, mara tummy, in the course of the next 66 days, she will be tohar. She won't become asura abayla. We have a meaning that we don't rely on that kula. We're not boil al dam tohar. We don't follow dam tohar. That was a big machlokes, whether that makes sense or not. And the accepted practice is that we don't permit, we don't allow dam tohar anymore. So in the Mishnah, it says a machlokes satanoi, maybe the whole din, that there's no tzuras havlad in less than 40 days, more than 40 days there is. Maybe that's only by a boy, but the whole malos is 40 days. By a baby girl, where the malos afterwards consists of 80 days, 14 days yimei tumah, and 66 days yimei tohar, 14 and 66 adds up to 80. So maybe by baby girl, the amount of time, the minimum amount of time that you need that the fetus should develop a tzuras havlad, maybe it's 80 days. We don't pass, there's one ton of holes like that. We don't accept that opinion. We say by boy and a girl, it's the same. And it's not really 40 days. It's not the same. It's a little bit more than 40 days. The Gemara says less than 40 for sure, not more than 40. Someone has to, sometimes the woman will lose the fetus. She goes to the bathroom. She'll come, a lot of blood will come out and she'll flush it down the toilet. She won't even realize that that was her uber. That was the little baby. She was only pregnant for 40 days or so. And she flushed it down the toilet. She didn't realize that. So she won't know. It's too late now. She won't know whether it had a tzuras havlad or not. So if it's less than 40 days, for sure, nothing. When you get to 44 days, that's when you begin to think about it. You begin to discuss, did I have a tzuras havlad or not? So since it's not really 40 days, so the Gemara said, it does make a difference whether it's a boy or a girl. We have not accepted the opinion of that Tana, that by a boy it's 40 days tzuras avlat to be developed, and a girl it's 80 days, because it's not really 40 days. It's a little more than 40 days. So again, so the Tanoim had a very low opinion of the Nochrim, the male Nochrim in their generation. Maybe in our generation also we should have the same low opinion. We are choshed that they're all running around with their girlfriends, even though they're not married. Maybe the Chiddush is even if they are married, okay, also running around with their girlfriends. And maybe he had the girlfriend over, and he made her pregnant. So if the Nochri lived in this new apartment for less than 40 days, so we don't have to be, why aren't we concerned that he made his girlfriend pregnant before he moved in? I don't know. The Gemara says, if he only lives here for less than 40 days, you don't have to be afraid. Maybe he made her pregnant and he buried the Nefel in the apartment. But if he was living here for more than 40 days, then we're concerned, even though he's a single guy and he seems to be a nice fellow. So the Gemara says, they're all chashudim that they have girlfriends. And we have to be concerned. Maybe he made her pregnant and maybe she lost the fetus. And maybe he buried her. It costs money to bury in a cemetery. So maybe he just buried the baby in the apartment. So that's the Mishnah Medurah Sarvik Gacham Tamei Mekama Yashab Mother. The Hey Hamoda Tzorch Bedikar Boim Yom. If he lives in the apartment less than 40 days, if she lost the fetus less than 40 days, that's not Metame. There's a Dinah Yoledes, a Jewish Yoledes is obligated to bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash. If it's a baby boy, is obligated to bring the korban on the 41st day after she goes to mikveh. If it's a baby girl, she can't bring the korban yoledes until the 81st day after the melos of 80 days is over. So the Mishnayos say in Nida that pasuk in Chumash in the beginning of Parshas Tazria that yoledes is obligated to bring a korban even if she had a stillborn baby, even if she gave birth to a nefel. If the nefel has tumas meis, if it had a tzuras havlad, if she was pregnant for more than 43, 44 days, and the uber had a tzuras havlad, then just like it's metami b'maga m'masa b'ohel, so too it's she's mechuyev to bring a korban. One might have thought incorrectly that you only have to bring a korban if it turned out well in the end. She had a healthy baby and everything was good, but if she lost the pregnancy, the baby died. Maybe one might think that it's a korban of thanksgiving. You give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, not so. The Mishnayos and Nidah say that even if the woman had a stillborn baby, she's still mechuyev to bring the korban of yoledes. But that's only if there's at least a possibility that there was a tzuras havlad. There was a tzuras havlad. Yeah, if she doesn't bring the korban, she's considered a mechuse kippurim. Sometimes you don't bring a korban. Okay, let's say a person was mechal Shabbos b'shoigeg, yet chayla v'dam b'shoigeg. He has to bring a korban chatas. And what's the din? Kol zman he doesn't bring the korban chatas. He's mechuyev to bring. Okay, there's a din about the acher. He shouldn't postpone too long. When he comes to Yerushalayim anyway, in Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, he should bring the first time he comes. Uvasa shama v'aleisim shama. There's an essay. The next one of the Shalosh Regolim that you have to be Ola Regol, Bezman Shabbos Megdush Kaim, you should really bring the korban. And if you postpone bringing the korban Shalosh Regolim, then you're a violation of Bal Tiachim. But it doesn't affect you. You're still Tohor. But if a woman is your Yoledes is Tameya. The Pasuk says she's Tameya. So fine, she waits till the end of the 40 days or the end of the 80 days, and then she goes to the mikveh, and she removes the tumah, and then she has higher of shemesh. She removes more of the tumah, and calls man, she doesn't bring the carbon. That's the Mishnah, the name of the second parak in Krisis, is Arbo Mechusir Kapar. There are four people who are tumah, and even after they go to the mikveh, they still can't eat tumah until they have higher of shemesh. Harav Shemesh means you have to wait till Tzeisa Kachavim after they went to mikveh. If they went to mikveh 4 in the afternoon and the Shkia is now 10 to 6, okay, so then they have Harav Shemesh that day. If they went to mikveh at 9 o'clock at night, they have to wait till tomorrow night, Harav Shemesh. You can't have the Harav Shemesh before you go to the mikveh. When you go to mikveh 5 years after you had the baby, then you have to still have to wait till the night after the time that you went to the mikveh. So going to the mikveh, tavol v'yola echel b'maisa sheni. A tummy is not permitted to eat maisa sheni. It has to be eaten b'tahara. That's what you say when you recite vidui maisa. And Erev Pesach, there's a 7-year cycle in Eretz Yisrael. Every 7th year is Shemitah. So Erev Pesach of the 4th year and Erev Pesach of the 7th year, the Shemitah year, is Shas HaBiur. Whatever Maaseh Sheni you have around the house, you have to bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it and make sure you finish eating everything. You have to give away all the Truma Gedoyla, all the Maaseh Rishon, and so on, all the Maaseh Oni. So you say, La'echalte bi'oni menu, la'bi'ayte menu bitomei. And when you recite the Vidui Maisa on Erev Pesach of the 4th year or Erev Pesach of the 7th year, if one is a farmer, if you're not a farmer, you don't recite Vidui Maisa. But if you're a farmer, then you recite Vidui Maisa. So you say, I didn't consume the Maisa Sheni in a state of Tumah. So how tohar do you have to be allowed to eat Maisa Sheni? So that's a Mishnah quoted on the first daf in Brachas. Toval the Ola, the person goes to the mikveh at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and he didn't have Harav Shemesh yet. Harav Shemesh is going to be Tzeis HaKochavim tonight after having gone to the mikveh. But for the purposes of eating Maaseh Sheni, Toval the Ola is enough. Harav Shimsho, and if he has Harav Shemesh, following the tefillah in the mikveh, Zechol B'Truma. Koyen Tomei is not permitted to eat Truma. And if he went to the mikveh, he has to have Harav Shemesh, then he can eat Truma. But he still is not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash and not allowed to eat Karbonis. So then, Hevi Kaparosa, if he's a Zab Zav, Yoledis, and Metzora, that's the Mishnah Abba, Mechusir Kapora. There are 4 people who are Tomei, that even if they went to the mikveh, and even if they had Harav Shemesh, after going to the mikveh, they're still considered Tomei with respect to Knisa LaMikdash, or with respect to eating Karbonis. A tummy is not allowed to eat karbonis, so they have to have Hevi Kaparosai, the Zab Zava, Yoledes, and Metzora, the 4 people that even though they went to Mikvah and they had Harav Shemesh, they can't eat Kachim, they can eat Truma after Harav Shemesh, but they can't eat Kachim and they can't enter the Beis HaMikdash. They're not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash. Hevi Kaparosai, then he can eat, he can enter the Beis HaMikdash and he can eat the Kachim Kam, he can eat the Kachim. So the Rashi points out over here, there's a machlokes Reb Shimon bar Yochai Nachachamim regarding the pasuk that appears in the beginning of Parshas Chukas. Parshas Chukas begins with the dinim of Paraduma. Paraduma is necessary if you're a Tomei Meis. Other Tomei you don't need a Paraduma for. Tomei Meis can't just go to Mikvah and become Torah. He has to first have Azor Shlishi Yishvi. Let's say he went to a funeral on Sunday. So Shlishi will be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So Tuesday is the 3rd day. And then Shvi is going to be Shabbos. Shabbos, you're not allowed to have Hazor. That's called Mesaken Mona. Mesaken Gabra. Mesaken Mona. Mona Memnon Aleph means a Kli. If you have a broken fork and it's twisted out of shape and you can't use it, and you straighten it out and you fix it, that's real Mesaken Mona Menatur. If a person is Tomei and he's Toivel not a mikveh, that's Mesaken Mona Medirabonim. Mesaken Mona Medirabonim, not a person. The person was Tomei and made himself Tohar. So the Gemara says, the Tanoim in Mishnah is like that. Midirabbanan, you're not allowed to do Hazor Shlishi Shvi on Shabbos or on Yontov because that's a violation. You're leading the person to become Tohar. Hazor Shlishi Shvi is not yet Tohar. He needs Hazor Shlishi Shvi, Paraduma, water, and then he has to be Toivel in the mikveh. But they prohibited doing Hazor Shlishi Shvi on Shabbos and Yontov, because that's Misaken Mona on a person. That's awesome. So let's say the person went to the funeral on Sunday. So he's not going to be able to have Hazor Shvi. He's going to have Hazor Shvi on next week on Sunday. That's going to be Shmini. So he shouldn't have Hazor on Tuesday and on Sunday of next week, because that's 2 girsas in the Gemara, Machlekes, the Rambam and the Raavad, what the correct girsa. The way we have the girsa in the Gemara, you can't have 5 days in between. Shlishi, Ushvi, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So the Shvi is the 5th day following the Shlishi. Whenever you became Tomei, you can't have the first Hazor till the 3rd day. A person went to today's Tuesday, he went to the funeral on Tuesday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So Thursday will be Shlishi. And then Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, so Monday will be Shvi. If for some reason or another you can't have Hazor Shvi on Monday, let's say it's Yontov, you're going to have time on Tuesday, then you shouldn't have the first one on Tuesday. You should have it on Wednesday. You shouldn't have more than 5 days in between the Shlish and the Shvi. That's the girsa that we have in the Gemara. The Rambam had a different girsa. You can have as many days as you want in between the first and the second Hazor. The first Hazor has to be at least on the third day after coming in contact with the Meis. It can be longer. And then the Hazor Shvi can't be within the 5 days, but it can be 100 days later. It can be 5 years later. As long as the first Hazor was at least 3 days later, and the next Hazor is going to be at least the fifth day after the Hazor Shlishi. Okay, so that's a din of Hazor Shlishi Shvi. So the Tanoim made a Gzera Derabban and Meduras of the Kachavim. You have to be Mesupik if the Nochri, if the man lived in the apartment for more than 40 days. Maybe his girlfriend was with him, even though he's not married to her. He rented an apartment all by himself. He didn't rent a husband and a wife. But we're afraid even the single people may be having an affair with a girlfriend. The girlfriend may have made her pregnant, and she may have lost the fetus, and maybe he buried the Vlad in the apartment. So Mesa Akum Amitame. So then Rashi throws in this machlekes Reb Shimon by Yechoy and Achacham. So the pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Chukas that talks about Paraduma, pasuk says Adam Zos HaTorah Adam Ki Amis BaOhel. So there's a din of Tumas Ohel. So Reb Shimon by Yechoy has the drasha that we spoke about yesterday. Atem Kruim Adam Einu Musalim Kruim Adam. Based on the pasuk in Yechesk Adam Atem. Only Bnei Yisrael are called Adam. The Umas Ohelam, the human beings, but they're not called Adam. Called Geber, Odom, Enosh, Ish, but Odom is only Miyuchin for the Jewish people. So according to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, Mesei Akam are only Mitami B'maga B'masa, they're not Mitami B'ohel. According to the Chachamim, they're Mitami B'maga B'masa U'B'yohel. Okay. Rashi is a little unclear here. From Rashi, it sounds like this, what are we concerned? I'm going to walk in the Meduras HaNochrim. I'm not going to walk on a fetus, on a dead body? What, there's going to be a dead baby lying on the floor, I'm going to walk on the baby? You're afraid maybe the Nochri buried the stillborn baby under the ground. So maybe there's a Tumas Ohel. But if you're like Hashem and Baichoi, what is there to be concerned about Tumas Mesi Akma not Matame Ba'ohel? So what's the problem? Unless you should say that Rashi means, we mentioned yesterday that in Yeridea there's a Chumra. Even though we hold Mesi Akum, even though the Raman Paskin, Mesi Akum, and not Mitame Ba'ayel, it says, with Machmer, Kohanim shouldn't go into a Goyish cemetery. Why not? The worst is going to be is Ohel. So the Mesi Akum, and not Mitame Ba'ayel. So we mentioned there were three explanations. So one of the explanations was that even though there's no Tumas Ohel, but still the Kohen is not allowed to come in contact with Mesim. So since if it would have been a Meis Yisrael, it would have been Mitame Ba'ohel. So that's, even though it's Meis Yakum and there's not Tumas Ohel, but still that's called coming in contact. That's a big Chiddush. That's what we mentioned. Rabbi Chana Vassman and Rabbi Chaim Moiser, the two brothers-in-law, they were married to two sisters, the two daughters of the rabbi from Shavuot. So the Rabbi Zachariah Stern, I think in the back of the Vilna Shas, some of the Mesichtas have Chiddushim from Rabbi Zachariah Stern, the rabbi from Shavuot. When they were printing the Vilna Shas, he was already the rabbi in Shavuot. So I remember when we were touring in Poland, so we were driving through the city Shavuot by bus. A whole group of people were on bus. It took a long time. It took something like more than 45 minutes to go from one end of the city to the other end. And there were no other cars. There weren't so many other cars there. It's a little village, but it's spread out. It's a big area, Shavuot. So the so if you say that a Kohen is not allowed to come in contact with Mesei Akum Ba'ohel, even though they're not Mitame because of the Yisur Tumas Kohanim. So maybe that's what it means over here. It doesn't sound like it. No, it says Meduras Hakam Atameim. It's not talking about Kohanim. It's talking about a Yisrael. A Yisrael goes in the Meduras Hakam, he becomes Tame. So why does he become Tame? If you hold the Mesei Hakam, not Matami Ba'oil. Rashi says, even according to Reb Shimon, but it's still metame b'magam amasa. But I'm not stepping on the fetus. The fetus is buried under the ground. So strange Rashi. There's something missing over here. Here there's a famous Rashash on this Rashi. The Rashash quotes, there are a lot of machloikis in Abai v'Ravim, in different mesichtes. So he dug up in Perka Arba Haroitev, one of the latter prokim in Maseches Chulin that has a lot to do with Tumah v'Tara. Arba Haroitev is a lot about Tumah. So Rava has a machloikis with Abai. There are three kinds of ohel. One kind of ohel is I'm sitting outside and they carry a mace right above my head. So the mace is mahel on me. So that's tumasal. Another kind is they have a dead body and I jump over the dead body. I didn't touch the dead body. I didn't move the dead body. There's no maga, there's no masa, but there's ohel. The living person was mahel on top of the mace. So that's tumas ohel. Then there's a third ohel that we call ohel hamshocha. The mace is in that corner in the room, and I'm in this corner, but there's a roof that goes from on top of me to on top of the mace. That's called Oil Hamshocha. So Oil Hamshocha is considered a lower level. Some write as if Oil Hamshocha is only Midirabbanon. The Pashta says that that's a mistake. That's a mistake based on a misreading in a Shach. There's a Shach in Hilchas Tumas Kohanim. In the end of Yeridaya, they have all the dinim of Avela, so they have one simon about Tumas, few simonim about Tumas Koyanim. So in one place, there's a shach where they have the tzion on the wrong line in the Shulchan Aruch, the sif cotton. They have the letter in the Shulchan Aruch is on the wrong line. So according to the misprint in the shach, it says that Oil Hamshach is only with the Rabbanim. The Pashta says that it's not correct. One of the Rabbanim in Europe wrote a whole sefer on this that's called Pischei Aholim or something like that. So he explains that that's a mistake, that the Oil Hamshach is also a din deraisa. But the Rava, and there in the end of Chulin, Kuf Lamids or something, the Rashash quotes, and on this Rashi, on Tesimonal. So Rava says that if you're mahil on top of the mace, or they carry the mace right on top of you, that's dinu kemaga. That's not dinu ka'ohel, that's dinu kemaga. As an afkamina, if you have half a gazais of this and a half a gazais of that, they mitzvah from yachad. So if the same din of tumah, then they mitzvah from yachad. It's two different din, then it's not mitzvah from yachad. So Rava says that if you mahil on the mace, or they carry the mace over you, that's din of kimago. So the Rashash understands the Rashi kipshuto, that even if you hold like Reb Shimon, the mace yachad not mitamim ba'ohel, that only goes on oil hamshocha. But if you mahil on the mace, that's called maga, and it is metame. You have to, so the recent Sfarim, right, you have to modify the Rashash. Let's say you have a piece of meat from the A&P, from an animal, but it didn't have shechita. So nevela, that we call, by a dead human being, we call it a mace. By a dead behemoth that didn't have shechita, we call it a nevela. So if you had a nevela, it's metame b'mago b'masa. Nishmane shots mahamurim atoira aroni metame b'mago. If you have nivlas behema v'chayu, it's mentame b'maga u'b'masa. If you have mesa odam, it's mentame b'maga m'masa u'ba'ohal, if it's a mesa Yisrael. So if you have nivlas behema, it's only mentame b'maga m'masa. You're going to tell me that if you lean over in the A&P, I see the section where they have the nevela meat. So I lean over it, and I'm directly above the nevela meat, so it's mentame b'maga. That's not called mago, that's ohel. Oil is only by tumas meis. That's not, Rava should not be taken literally. The Rashash somehow understood Rava in the end of Chulin, the Perk Harvaretiv, literally, as if you're mahal on the meis, that's called tumas mago. It's a din of tumas mago. Rava said it, but again, to one little detail then, that if you have a half gazayis by touching, a person is touching half a gazayis, then he's leaning over another half a gazayis, that the mitzvah from Yachad, because it's closer, leaning on top of the mace. That kind of ohel is closer to maga. So chatzi zayis of this and chatzi zayis of that, I'm at star from yachad. But if you're touching a mace and you have your hand under the same roof with the maces on the other end of the room, olam shacha, they're the chatzi zayis and the chatzi zayis are not at star from yachad. So it's a problematic Rashi. We're not sure. The Rashash points out that the Tosus Yontav is not sure what Rashi is driving at over here. And he thinks that Rashash solved the whole problem over here. That since Rav said that if you mahel on top of the mace, that's a din amaga shayin, so mace yakam not metamim ba'al, but the tamim amaga, so this is metamim amaga. That's very difficult. That's very difficult. Nobody says that in Yeridea when they say, even though mace yakam not metamim ba'al, but a Jew, a kohen should be careful not to walk in a goyish cemetery. So nobody says what the Rashash says. Some say you should be careful because Tosfos Paskins may say Akam Ametami Ba'ohel Halachi Kirabana De Reb Shimon. Others say that even though they may say Akam Ametami Ba'ohel, there are always some Mishumadim, Jewish Mishumadim, who are buried in the Galatian cemetery. So the Jewish Mishumadim are still Jewish, so they're Ametami Ba'ohel. Then the third suggestion that was given was a wild one that most reject. That even though Mesei Akman Ametamim Ba'ohel, but still the issue is you're not allowed to come in contact with him. A Kohen is not allowed to come in contact with a mace, even if the contact will not be Metamihim. That's a Chiddush. But nobody says what the Rashash said, that it's considered Maga, and Mesei Akman Ametamim B'Maga. Pashto says that what he said is not correct.
Rabbi, how does one check if there's a Nifel buried in the house?
How do you check? You have to dig out a lot of, you have to dig till you see that nobody dug anything here.
But then wouldn't you become Tameh?
Yeah. You have to have someone who's Tameh anyway, do all the digging.
Someone already.
Get someone who already is Tameh. You got to get special people. Yeah. So that's the Mishnah that the Gemara is quoting from Mishnah Yisaholos. Medura Sa'akamat Tameyim. Whoever will go in will become Tamei, only provided the Nochri lived there for 40 days. And maybe he made his girlfriend pregnant. Maybe she had a miscarriage and he buried the baby rather than bury the baby. And he doesn't want to be Mefarsim that he made her pregnant. So he'll bury the baby in his apartment and he won't tell anybody what happened. So we always have to be concerned that Tanaim had a very low opinion of the Akum. So they always have to be concerned that maybe there's a little Nefel buried there somewhere. Yeah. What's Taka the Din? Is there a Chi of Kvura on a Nefel? We mentioned the other day in the Chumash, it only says explicitly, Kiyabish Chet Mishpat Mavis Vahuma. So somebody was put to death by the Bezin, Skila Svefa Herik Chenik, one of the Abu Haruge Bezin, the Arba Mrs. Bezin. So then there's a Din, Kovatik Brana Bayamahu. You have to bury the person the same day. What if a person dies at the age of 120? He dies a natural death. Not Haruge Bezin, not Mises Bezin. So the Gemara says also, there's a mitzvah of Kavura, and we mentioned the Lecha Mishnah on the bottom of the Rambam, writes that when you learn Sanhedrin, Daf, I think it's Memvavim Beis, the Gemara has two brises, one next to the other, that are practically word for word, except for one word difference. One brise says, Minayin, the Kavura Minatoira, and one brise says, Remez, the Kavura Minatoira Minayin. So the brisa that says remes sounds like it holds that the olchi of kura by non haruge bezin, if he died a natural death, the whole mitzvah kura is only by the rabbanim, and that's what Rabbi Moshe Weinstein has a tshuva. He says we don't paskan like that opinion. The Lecha Mishnah answers a problematic Rambam by saying like this. Rabbi Moshe agrees. So he says we paskan la locha kovetik berenu. The kefa lashon is when we say we darshan lashon is kvulim because we assume lo dibatur kadushen bani adam. So whenever you have a kefa lashon, you darshan something. So kovetik berana means that there's a chi of kvura, even if he's meisan mitasa, even a normal person, not from the haruge bezdin. There's still a mitzvah kvura. So the question is, we said over here, let's say a woman has a stillborn child. She's pregnant and then she loses the baby. So if she was pregnant for more than 44 days and there was a tzuras avlad, so then number one, she'll become tmeya tumas yoledes. If she was only pregnant less than 40 days, she'll also become tmeya. But she'll become tmeya because there's a whole bucket of dam that's ripping out. So she's tmeya like anida. She'll be considered anida. But if Anita doesn't have to bring a carbon later on. But if she's a Yoledes, if she was pregnant for more than 44 days and there was a Tzuras Avlad, so then even though when the baby was born, it was dead, then there's nothing to be celebrating about, nothing to be happy about, but she's still mechuyev to bring the carbon HaYoledes. So the Tumas Meis applies even if the baby was stillborn, as long as there was over 44 days of pregnancy with the Tzuras HaVlad. The Tumas Meis is there, and the Tumas Yoledes will be there, but there won't be any Avelus. There won't be any Shiva Avelus. Yeah, what about a mitzvah of Kvura? We say the mitzvah Kvura, we darshan kovetik berenu, that the Chi of Kvura applies not only to Haruge Bezdin, Arba Mises Bezdin, even to a Meis HaMitase, a normal person dies. So what if a woman loses a child? The baby was never alive. If the baby was once alive and then it died, then the relatives have to observe Avelus. If the baby was born dead, he was never alive at all, so then there's no Avelus. But the question is there a Chi of Kvura on a Nefel? So the Magen Avraham in Or HaChaim, there's a simin, there are two simonim in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Yantav, Kvuras HaMeis B'Yantav Rishon, and Dina Kvuras HaMeis B'Yantav Sheni. Years ago, it was a common practice in New York City that when someone would die, a Yantav Rishon, Yantav Sheni, they would do a funeral. On Yantav Rishon, you have to do all the melochas, Sayyidei Amimim, you have to have non-Jews dig the grave and drive the car and everything. And on Yantav Sheni, we allow Kfura Ayidei Yisra. Since Yantav Sheni is only Midir Abanan, even Yantav Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah, that's Yom Arichta, Kedusha Achas, but still, Yantav Sheni is only the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, B'makam Meis, Dina Kechol. If need be, you can have even Jews do the Kvura on Yantav Sheni. So there are two simonim in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Yantav and Or HaChaim. One simon about Kvuras HaMeis and Yantav Rishon, one simon about Kvuras HaMeis and Yantav Sheni. Now, it's very rare that you'll have a funeral not on Yantav Rishon, not on Yantav Sheni, because Moshe Feinstein wrote a tshuva that the whole heter to do Amira L'Nochri, to bury on Yantav Rishon, the whole heter to bury on Yantav Sheni, Agdei Yisrael, is not because you want to fulfill the mitzvah of Kovetik Berenu B'Yom Ahu. He doesn't think that's why. It's because of Kovet HaMeis, because the body is going to disintegrate. It's going to be a Bizayon HaMeis. But Bizman has said that they have freezes. So don't do the Kvura, not on Yantav Rishon, not on Yantav Sheni. Put the body in the freezer, and then you do the Kvura on the day after Yantav, the day after Yantav. So, and then Rav Moshe says, but people are going to scream at me. How can I say against the Gemara, against the Shulchan Aruch? It says in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch, you do bury. So he says, I'm not saying against the Gemara. He is saying. He's saying the din of the Gemara doesn't apply, because we have freezes. So the Agudas HaRabbanim adopted years ago, there used to be a strong organization, Agudas HaRabbanim. Now it hardly exists. Now it's a joke. But years ago, the Agudas HaRabbanim made an Isser. You're not allowed to have funerals, Yantav Rishon, Yantav Sheni, not so much because of Rav Moshe's position. They had big Rabbanim. They weren't all convinced that Rav Moshe was right, but for a different reason. I remember they used to have funerals on Yantav Rishon, Yantav Sheni, so they would call up all their relatives. They would come, they would fly in from Chutz La'ir, and everybody would be driving to the cemetery and driving back. There was Chilul Yantav all over the place. They're not allowed to have everybody come in. They're not allowed to make phone calls. So if you tell the people, you're not allowed to have the funeral on Yantav, you have to wait till Chalamah. You have to wait till after Yantav is over, right? So you'll have much less Chilul Yantav. That's right. So those who follow the Agudas HaRabbanim, not all the communities follow the Agudas HaRabbanim, like Broyers, never followed anything on the Agudas HaRabbanim. They live alone. Broyers, Rabbanim live alone. So I remember they used to have funerals on Yantav Rishon and Yantav Sheni. And they didn't always follow everything that it says in Shulchan Aruch either. They also had their own traditions about doing things. So the Magen Avraham there in Hilchas Kvuras HaMeis on Yantav Sheni quotes a machlekes achrenim, what's the din? Is there a mitzvah kvura on an eifel? The baby was never alive. That's why there's no din of Avelus. The baby was born dead. It was an eifel. It was a stillborn child. So is there a chi of kvura? There is a tumas meis, and the woman is mechuyev to bring the korban yoledes because it had a tzuras haflad. But the question is there a mitzvah kvura? So it's a machlokes achrayim. What does machlokes depend on? There is a gemara in Nida, but the gemara says the kusim had their own interpretation on psukim. The kusim were a group of people from the days of the Tanakh. They came from the city Kusa. They were moved by the government to Eretz Yisrael. And they were non-Jews. and then of being attacked by lions. And at that time, it was not normal to have lions roam around in the streets in Eretz Yisrael. It was abnormal. So they decided that it must be that the God of the Jewish people is the God in Eretz Yisrael. They better convert to become Jews, or the lions are going to keep on attacking them. So they converted officially, but they never accepted any mitzvahs. There never was any Kabbalah on mitzvahs. It says they continued to worship Avodah Zarah, but the lions were satisfied with the fake conversion that they had. So the lions stopped attacking. So that was so their conversion was not meaningful at all. The initial conversion described in Tanakh and Sefer Melachim was not a valid one because it was lacking Kabbalah on mitzvahs. The pasuk says, "Es alehem hayu avdim." They still continued to worship Avodah Zarah. There was zero Kabbalah on mitzvahs, and Kabbalah on mitzvahs is ma'akev. That's the whole essence of a conversion of a geiris, that the candidate for conversion commits himself to observe the mitzvahs atar. So then, in the days of the Tanoim, the kusim was still around. The kusim was still around. So they were observing some of the mitzvahs they were observing, but they wouldn't be observing the Rabbanans or Torah Shebaal Peh. The kusim would only follow what it says in the Torah Shebichsav. So usually what the kusim say is not accepted la'alocha. So the Gemara Nida says that the kusim had the attitude, they had the opinion, they had the practice, they felt that a nefel is not, there's no chi of kfura on a nefel, based on a pasuk. They darshan their own psukim. So they darshan the pasuk that there's no mitzvah kfura on a nefel. So the Magen Avraham quotes a machlokes achranim. So many achranim say, whatever the kusim say is always wrong, because it's based on their own interpretation. So this is probably also wrong. So the kusim held there's no chi of kfura on a nefel, and we hold that there is. And other achranim say, no, the kusim happened to be right over here. There's taka no chi of kvura on an eifel. There's only a chi of kvura. There's only a mitzvah kvura if the person was born alive and he dies afterwards. But if he's born dead, it'll be metame kemeis. You can't leave the dead body around. It's going to be a michshol. People are going to become tame meis without even realizing it. So mishum chashash takola. Let's say Eben and Achai is also metame. Let's say they had to do surgery and they cut off someone's finger. So if you leave the finger around the house, the finger will be metame ba'ohel. Eben menachai is metame like a mace. So also you have to dispose of it. But the pashtus is, there's no chi of kvura. And an eben menachai, it's not a mitzvah of kvura. It's mishum chashash takola, that a kohen shouldn't accidentally violate the kedushas kuna and be metame to the eben menachai, or Yisrael will become tame mace. He won't realize that he just became tame. So you have to dispose of the eben menachai. So that's a machlokes in the Magen Avraham and Hilchas Kvuras HaMeis on Yom Tov Sheni, that the Gemara Nida quotes the drasha, the interpretation of the kusim, where they came to the conclusion that there's no chi of kvura by nefel. So do we reject everything they said because they didn't accept Torah Shabbat? No, maybe this one is correct. So that's a machlokes. How do we pass on halacha l'maaseh? So the Achrayim say the minig is, if the fetus died before the pregnant woman felt movement, so then you don't have to do kfura bekever Yisrael. Let's say they take out the fetus, there's an abortion in the hospital because they say the baby is not, the heart is not beating. The doctor says the heart is not beating, so they take out the baby. Oh, she lost the baby. So you leave it in the hospital. The hospital will dispose of it. They'll destroy it, or they'll bury it somewhere, whatever. But if the woman was pregnant already in the fifth month, they start feeling the movement of the baby. So then the minig is, once you already started to feel the movement in the fifth month, so then the minig is that you bury. But Mikra Din, it's really the same. Mikra Din, you really don't need for it. That's how it really, even though it is metame, you should dispose of it, mishum chashash takola. But strictly speaking, you don't need for it, bekever Yisrael. You can allow the hospital to bury it, bekever HaMedina. Yeah, so this is the din of the Meduras HaAkum. Why did the Gemara quote it? We're learning Psachim over here, because they raise the issue, if you saw a chulda came and brought a piece of chametz from your neighbor's home into your apartment, which you already were baidik, so now that you saw the chulda bring it in, now your apartment is a makom sheyesh bo chametz. But there's a ruba de leisa kamon that the chulda probably ate up the whole piece of bread. Mice will eat up, nibble some of the bread. They're not going to eat all the crumbs. But the chulda is a bigger animal, so the weasel is going to eat everything. So the shaila in the Gemara was, why do you have to be boidik again? Chachazina, I saw that the chulda brought chametz in, so I say it's the makam has chametz. I have to do another bedika. Gemara says, why? But why don't you follow the ruba de leisa kamon that the chulda probably will eat everything that it brought in? Mara says, no, the raiv is not such a strong raiv that the chulda will eat the whole piece of bread. There's a raiv, it's 65%, 70% raiv, but it's a raiv garu, it's not a raiv bari. So since the raiv is contradicted by the chazak, because I know bevada that the chulda brought in chametz, so it's a makam shmachnisim bechametz. And there's a ruba de leisa kamon, that's only a roib garua. So roib garua, that's up against a chazake, so it's shkulim. So since it's shkulim, so it's a sofik. So a sofik in bedikas chametz, you are mechuyev to be boidik. Usually you say sofik de rabbana lekula. When sofik in bedikas chametz, you don't say sofik de rabbana lekula. All bedikas chametz is always ala sofik. That's why we had a ravid. The ravid made that comment. The ravid had, just to refresh your memory, the ravid made a comment, why is there mnu rabbana bid rabbanan? Why do we believe, why are we makel that hakol nemanim al bedikas chametz akotnes neman? Tosis pointed out there's a mishnah at the end of the second perek, the last mishnah in the second perek in Ksubis. Akotn shehigdil is neman and dinim derabonin. Akotn shehigdil is neman to say, ad kan hayinim halchem etchum Shabbos. I remember when I was a child, we used to walk this far. My father told me that tchum Shabbos ends over here. Or the cotton shehigdil is named to make a kiyum ashtar. You have a shtar that's signed by two signatures. You don't know if they're authentic. And the person whose name appears is not alive anymore. That we should ask him, sign your name 100 times and we'll check to see whether his signature corresponds. He's dead already. So there's a person who's 20 years old and says, I remember I was in that Rebbe's class. The Rebbe would write on the blackboard. He would always write his name on the black. That's exactly the way he signed his name. He would sign my report cards. Or my parents would send him a check, a matana for Yontav or something. So he would sign his name to endorse the check. I recognize the handwriting, but he's a cotton shehigdil. He recognized the handwriting from the time that he was a cotton. So cotton shehigdil is only neman and dinim derabonim. So since kiyum ashtar is only needed mid rabbanon, so the cotton shehigdil is neman. Or tchum shabbos al pai mam is only the rabbanon, so the cotton shehigdil is neman. Or he says I remember this classmate of mine is a kohen. His father used to take him sometimes. He was only 10 years old. Father would take him out of school early to take him to the mikveh, so he should be able to have harav shemesh, that he should be able to eat truma for supper. Because if he's going to wait till class is over at 6 o'clock, he'll go to the mikveh, have to have shemesh tomorrow night. He won't be able to have truma tonight. And the father would take him out of school, out of cheder early, to take him to the mikveh that he should have harav shemesh today. So since the Gemara says there, since truma b'zman hazeh is only the rabbanon, the question, what does that mean? Why is truma b'zman hazeh only the rabbanon? That's what it says in the Gemara. Since truma b'zman hazeh is only the rabbanon, so that's a cotton shehigdil is believed over there. But here, the cotton is neman de katnuso on the bedikas chametz. You make more by bedikas chametz than you are by other dinam de rabbanon. So Taisus points it out. They don't explain. They just point out it's strange. You make more by bedikas chametz. Why? So the rivet on the bottom of the rif gives an explanation. He says, whenever you make a din de rabbanon, you have to have a kula that everyone should know that's only a din de rabbanon. You're not allowed to be machmer on a din de rabbanon to the same extent as a real din de raisa. So on the level of the raisa, we say safik de raisa lechumre. On all dinim de rabbanon, we say safik de rabbanon lekula. So we know that's only a din de rabbanon, and the din is safik de rabbanon lekula. But bedikas chametz, you always do ala safik. Because we once used this room for chametz, we probably threw out all the chametz. That was 9 months ago. We used the room. There was a bris over here, so we served a meal. So there was chametz here 9 months ago. You think there's still chametz now? Amokim shemachnisim chametz. Maybe all the chametz is gone. So since bedikas chametz was instituted ala safik, so you don't have the kula of safik the rabbanon la kula. So they had to introduce another kula because you're not allowed to be machmer on a din de rabbanon to the same extent as a din de raisa. So that's why they made the kula that cotton is neman. Usually a cotton is only neman on a derabbanon. If he's a cotton shehigdil, when he tells us the Eidus, now he is bar mitzvah. He tells, I remember from 5 years ago, from before my bar mitzvah, such and such. So anadinderaisa katan shehigdal is not nemon, anadinderabonan katan shehigdal is nemon. Remember, I told the story about Rabbi Mahpud, that they showed him certain grasshoppers. He says, yeah, he remembers that he used to eat those grasshoppers in wherever he came from. I forgot already where he came from. So I asked him, when did you leave the Al-Tahem? He says, before Bar Mitzvah. So I said, you're not Neman. Akotn Sheikh, there's only Neman on Dinam Rabban. He's telling me on a Din Deraisa that these grasshoppers are kosher. So he said, that's right. His wife left after her Bas Mitzvah. He's going to ask his wife. So he looks, his wife is not home. So he says, his next door neighbor just came from, I don't know, Morocco, well, whatever country it was. So he's going to ask his next door neighbor. So he brings him in and he shows him the grasshoppers. He says, do you remember eating these grasshoppers before you came to Eretz? He says, oh no, I never ate those grasshoppers. So he said, what do you mean? They're not kosher? Everybody ate them. Yeah, everybody else did eat. I didn't like the grasshoppers. I didn't eat it. But he was already a bar mitzvah. He was an older man. He says, yeah, he remembers everybody else ate it, the kosher grasshopper. He didn't eat it. So Rabbi Mahpud ripped off the wings of the grasshopper. If you don't rip off the wings and you put them on a frying pan, they're going to fly away. So he ripped off the wings. They can't run away. And then he fried the grasshoppers, and then he was eating them. He said they tasted good. He offered to me. I wasn't interested in eating the grasshoppers. They say it's very healthy. It has a lot of nutrition. Okay. Very good. So that's why the Gemara brings in this whole topic of Maduras HaNochrim. They're talking about, why do you say that the Maduras HaNochrim Atome, isn't there a likelihood? Here, how does it say in the Mishnah? Even though the Nochri who lives in the apartment is a single man, he's not married, we're concerned maybe he made his girlfriend pregnant and maybe she lost the baby, maybe he buried the baby there. Then the Mishnah continues, however, but if it's a place that there's a possibility that there was a chulda, there was animals roaming around, so then we have the right to assume that the chulda ate up the Vlad, human flesh. The Chulda will eat up the human flesh. And the Gemara asks, isn't that a stira? How come over here, if I saw the Chulda bring in the loaf, a slice of bread into my apartment that I was Boydik already, so then you're Mechuyev to be Boydik again. Why don't you say the Chulda ate it up? The Roiv is the Chulda ate it up. And how come over there, if there's a Chulda, then you make all that you assume the Chulda ate up the whole thing. So the Gemara says, well, there's a big difference. Amar Abzeira loy kasha. In both cases, it's a shaila of Ruba v'chazoka. The apartment is b'cheskas tomei, or the apartment is b'cheskas that has makom sheyesh bo chametz. Then you have a Ruba d'leisa kamon contradicting the results of the cheskas tomei, or cheskas chametz. The Rabbi Leisa Kamon says that the Chulda ate up the chametz and that the Chulda ate up the whole body. So how come in one place we're mekel, one place we're machmer? So first the Gemara says, Leikasha, Abba Basa, Abba Lechem. If it's a Vlad, so the Chulda enjoys eating fleshiks. So he probably ate up the whole thing. So then you can rely about a loaf of bread. It's not so exciting to eat a whole loaf of bread. So there is no roiv. The roiv only is by basar, and there's no roiv by the lechem. And Rabbi says, hi, my, I don't even see what the whole kasha was in the first place. Why is there no kasha in the first place? Amar Rabbi, hi, my, what's the kasha? Bishlema hasam, by the Maduras HaNochrim. There you have a svek svek. Ema have it, ema loy have it. We're not so convinced in the first place. It's not a vadai. It's not that the apartment is becheskas, that there's a vadai mace over there. We don't trust any of the Nochrim, even if they're single. We have to be concerned. Maybe they had a girlfriend. Maybe they made the girlfriend pregnant. And maybe she had a miscarriage. And maybe he buried the baby rather than be mefarsim to the public and have a whole funeral. Maybe he just buried the baby in the apartment. So there, we're not sure in the first place. That's a svek svek. maybe the chulda ate it. So then you have a svek sveka. That's why you make them. Aval hacham. But by the chametz, we're talking. We saw the chulda bring in a slice of bread. So it's vaday becheskas. That is a mach mishish by chametz. So there's only one suffix. So then there's no room to be makel just based on one suffix. Yeah. So what did the Gemara say? You makel based on a svek sveka and meduris ha'akum. You makel based on a svek sveka. This is a problem. We have a klal. We have a klal in tumah. Sofik tumah b'shusa yochid, sveka tumah, sofik tumah b'shusa rabim, sveka tohor. So sofik tumah, usually you have with respect to isa v'heter, we say sofik deraisa, l'chumah sofik derabana l'kula. Whenever there's a sofik deraisa, one sofik deraisa l'chumah, and a svek sveka is l'kula. But in sofik tumah, it doesn't make a difference between one suffix and two svekas. If it's a suffix tumah b'shus ha-yachid, it's sveka tomi, even if it's a svek sveka. Kol sveka shat yochel harbus is still tomi. You don't say svek sveka l'kula. And if it's a suffix tumah b'shus ha-rabim, it's sveka l'hokel, even if it's only one suffix. So what did the Gemara answer? Omar Rava, hi my, Rava Tainas, what's the comparison between Meduras Ha'akum and the Chulda Vaday brought Chametz? The Chulda Vaday brought Chametz, that there's no Svek Sveka, but by the Meduras Ha'akum we have a Svek Sveka. Well, why does Svek Sveka help to be Metahir? It should depend whether it's B'shus Tayochar or B'shus Rabim. That's Tosis Kasha. The Tosis Dibra Maschal, Yim Tim Tzilaymar. Yim Taima, HaMeduras Ha'akum is a B'shus Tayochar. What's the definition of Rishus HaYochid? So for Shabbos purposes, you're not allowed to carry from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, or Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, or Dal Ramis and the Rishus HaRabim. So what is the definition of Rishus HaYochid? Rishus HaYochid means a makam Dal Radal Tfachim, not Dal Radal Ramis, Dal Radal Tfachim, Mukaf Mechitzis. If it has Mechitzis, 10 Tfachim tall. Even if it's City Hall, and it belongs to the municipality, that's called the Rishus HaYochid. It doesn't matter who, on the level of their eyes, it doesn't make a difference who owns it, and it doesn't make a difference who lives there. Midirabbanan, Shlomo HaMelech made a gzera that if you have a chotzer, let's say you have an apartment building, you have 100 different apartments in the building, and each apartment has a different family living there. So the hallways, all the people who live on that hall have a right to use the hallways. Anyone who wants to visit someone on the sixth floor has a right to go up the staircase on the elevator. So everyone has a right to go visit in the building. So Shlomo HaMelech made a takana that even though in HaTorah, the apartment building is all one big Rishus HaYochid Midirabbanan, since Reuben's family lives in this apartment, and Shimon's family lives in that apartment, and both Reuben's family and Shimon's family are permitted to use the hallways, but Midirabbanan, Shlomo HaMelech said, there's a difference. This is Rishus HaYochid subcategory. This is one type of Rishus HaYochid. That's Rishus HaYochid Shal Reuven, and that's Beis Shal Shimon. So you're not allowed to carry from one house to the other unless you're making a Reuven Chatzeres. You have to make an Erev together. And the Gemara says, a Baskal came out from heaven. The Gemara in the beginning of the second parak and Erevin writes, Baskal came out from heaven and recited the Pasuk, Chacham b'ni, alken yismach libi gamoni. I'm so happy that my son is a chacham. Shlomo HaMelech is such a chacham that he made this chumrah. That in order to carry in a chotzer, you have to have an eruv chotzeres. But on the level of the raiser, whenever there are mechitzas around a dalar al dalar tvachim area, so that's considered a rishus hayochid. Yeah, what about over here for tumah purposes? So that's one Gemara. That's a Gemara in the end of Cheskes Habatim, where the Gemara says that whatever is a Rishus HaRabim for Shabbos purposes is a Rishus HaRabim for Tumah purposes as well. Then there's another definition. There's another Gemara in Perek Shnei Nazirim. That's the name of a Perek in Maseches Nazir. The Mishnah has there a case. There are two Nazirim. Reuven and Shimon are both a Nazir. And then there's a third person who's there, and he says, I know for sure, I noticed that one of the two of you touched the mace, you weren't paying attention. But I noticed that one of the two of you was leaning backwards, whatever, and you bumped into a mace, and you didn't realize it, but I don't remember. I didn't notice which one of the two. So the Mishnah has a din. How do you proceed? The third person is a dechanem and bisurim, and he remembers that one of the two of them became tame. So the Gemara says that should really be considered rishus harabim. Safek tuma rishus harabim should be sveka tohar. Why is it rishus harabim? Because where do you learn out that difference between rishus hayochid and rishus harabim with respect to tuma? Where do you learn it out from? So the Gemara says, I learned that from the parsha of Soita, that it says v'nitma'o. It's a strange lashon. V'nitma doesn't mean she became tameh. V'nitma means the eshes ish was mezana. She becomes asur al baila. And the Gemara says, it says the word v'nitma three times. V'nitma, v'nitma, v'nitma. Why does it appear three times in the parsha of Soita and Chumash Bamidbar and parsha of Snaso? Gemara says, echad lebal, echad leboil, echad letruma. That if the woman is mezana tachas baila and eshes ish is insa, number one, she becomes asura al baila. She's not allowed to live with the husband. The husband has to give her a get. Number two, when the husband divorces her, she's not allowed to marry the boyo. She's not allowed to marry the man with whom she had the affair. And number three, v'nitma shasura b'truma. Let's say the woman is married to a kohen and she has an affair with someone other than her husband. So she's no longer permitted to eat truma. And even if the husband will divorce her and she won't be married and she was a bas kohen to begin with, since she was mezana during Isha, so she becomes a Zayna, and a Zayna is not allowed to eat truma. So that's what the Gemara says, the three times v'nitma, 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 it's an Isa Raseh, it's not an Isa Lav, so it's an Isa Asur Abal, v'nitma Echad Abal, v'echad Abal, v'echad L'truma. That's how the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, but it's only a suffix if she was insa. We don't know. And she's screaming that she was not mezana. What is a saita suffix? Saita suffix means the husband is choshed his wife that she's having an affair with someone else. And he warned her, kinelo, v'nistra, kinelo mikino yistira. Kine means hasra. He warns her, I think you're acting improperly. You're too friendly, too lovey-dovey with the next-door neighbor. I don't trust you. I'm choshed that you're having an affair. You're being mezana with the next door neighbor. And I warn you, don't ever be alone. Don't do stira with the next door neighbor. The wife says to her husband, you're meshuggah, you're crazy. I'm not doing anything wrong. And he's a religious man and we're not doing anything wrong. So strictly speaking, there's no issa yichud if baila ba'ir. If the husband, works down the block. So there's no issa yichud with an eshes ish. If it's baila ba'ir. So the woman says, you're crazy, you're imagining things, you're neurotic, and I'm not going to listen to you. So it was kinei lo, he warned her, v'nistra, and she was misyacheres with the guy. And the husband comes home, and she sees that she's sitting and talking with the next door neighbor. But she didn't, strictly speaking, she didn't violate the isa yichud, because baila ba'ir, there's no isa yichud. But because it was kinei lo, v'nistra, so that's the din. So the question is, but she's only a suffolk, so why don't you say she's becheskas heter lebailo? When she got married, she was materis lebailo. Why don't you say the woman should remain becheskas heter lebailo? So that's the xeris hakosov, even though it's only a suffolk, hakosov asa suffolk kevadai. Torah says you have to go to chumra. So when does the Torah say you have to go to chumra? Only if there's stira. Stira means that there was only that man and that woman. If there were, let's say there were two women. So if there are two women, there's an Issa Yichud, but that's not called Stira. Stira means only that man, the one that the husband warned her, and the wife. That's called Stira. The Baal HaTanya has a Kula also, the Abdenezer discusses it. Stira is different. Let's say the husband is choshed that she's having an affair with her brother or with her father. There's no issa yichud with your brother or your father. But if the husband is choshed, his wife, she's kinei lo, so then it's called kinei yistira. She become asura al-baila, even though she didn't violate the issa yichud, or it's baila ba'ir. So she didn't violate the issa yichud, but still, kinei yistira, she becomes asura al-baila. So in a certain sense, stira is mochomer then yichud. Then in a certain sense, stira is kal. That yichud you can violate, yichud you violate, even if there are two women in the room. There's one man and two women, that's an issa yichud, but it's not called stira. Stira is only if you have the two people there. Or also, let's say the Balatanya has this kula. Stira is only if the man and the woman went into the room together. Let's say you have a company and they have 300 people working in the company, a gigantic office, and everybody comes in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, all the 300 people roaming around. Comes the end of the day at 5:30, whatever time they end. So little by little, one by one, everybody leaves. At the end of the day, there are only two people there. This, the woman who's married, and the man that the husband is choshed that she's having an affair with that man. But they didn't go into the room together. They went into the room. There were 300 people there. By the end of the day, the only two who are left are this man and this woman. That's a violation of yichud. That may or may not be a violation of yichud. It was ba'al b'ir. So there's no issa yichud. It was not ba'al b'ir, b'ir and issa yichud. There might be a violation of yichud, but it's not called stira. Stira is only, that's what the Baal HaTanya says. Stira is only if they both went into the room together. So the Gemara says, the word v'nitma, the Pirush Amilus, doesn't have anything to do with Tumah V'Tahara. The word v'nitma means that she was mezana. It's a euphemism. It means that she was mezana. So why did the Chumash write such a misleading expression, v'nitma? To be meramis to us the din, that just like Sofek Kivadai, by Kinu Yastira, if it would only be Stira, Enisha Neseris Abad, let's say a married woman violates Yichud. So the Gemara says, Enoisim Malke Mala Yichud, Enoisim Mala Yichud. You don't ask her Enisha Labaila just because she violated Yichud. She's not allowed to violate Yichud. But if she did violate Yichud, you don't ask her the Isha Labaila. There isn't even a latest Hasafik that she's having an affair. But if you have kinu yistira, hoel ve'esher aglaim ledover, then you do aser the isha labayla. So just like you say, sofik kivadai, if there was sofik kivadai, if there was kinu yistira, by eshes isha zinso, so we would say sofik kivadai by any sofik tuma, mishu sayochid. Mishu sayochid means if there are only two people there. If there are three people or more, that's already called the crowd. Two people, what's the expression? Two people is company and three people is a crowd, something like that. So if you just have the man and the woman, that's called stira. If you have three people, you have two women or whatever, then it's called b'shus harabim. So there's a contradiction between, so that's a Gemara in Perek Shnei Nazirim, in Maseches Nazir. The Gemara says, Eirecha namim b'isurim, a man tells the Tunizim, I know that one of you became a Tomei Meis. I wasn't close enough to see which one of you became Tomei. I saw from a distance. Gemara says, but if you have three people, it's already called the Rishus Harabim. So Sofek Tumah Rishus Harabim should be Sveka Tohar. So the Gemara says, it's only if all the three people are together. But if the Tunizim, it's a long haul. The Tunizim on the other end of the hall. And the third one is all the way over here. That's why he didn't notice for sure which one of the two. He didn't pay attention which one of them became Tomei B'Tomas Meis. So because they're not near each other, so it's not a Rishus Harabim. But if they would have been near each other, would it be considered a Rishus Harabim? And the other Gemara in the end of Cheskes Habatim, Nun Vavaso, so the Gemara there says, whatever is the definition of Rishus Harabim, the Hilchah Shabbos for Hoytzoah, if you're carrying on Shabbos, you have to have Shishim Ribo and you have to have Tezayin Amos. Why? Then Shel Rabim has to belong to the municipality. They're privately owned. It's not a Shul Rabim. All the dinim of Hilchah Rabim, Mokum Kavula, Hilchah Rabim. So there the Gemara gives a different definition of Shul Rabim for Safik Tumah, Shul Rabim, Sveka Torah, for the purposes of Safik Tumah. So the answer probably is that either one or the other. Sofik Tumah, if it's either Rishus Harabim and Hilchah Shabbos with Hilchah Shabbos definitions, then you go Sofik Tumah, you go Lekula. Or if it's a Rishus Harabim in the sense that they have three people or more, then it's also Rishus Harabim because you had three people, there's already a crowd. So either or, you would go Lekula. Sofik Tumah, Rishus Harabim, Sveka Tohar. And where did they learn out the whole, where did the Chacham learn out that there's a difference between Shusarab and Shusayachid? Because the Kinu Yastira, there were only two people in the room. If you would have had a third person, the woman with the man with whom the husband has chashed her, the boil, the suspected boil, and another woman, so true, two women and a man, there's an issa yichud, but it's not called stir. That the chayodim has like that. Stir is only if you have the two people alone. So that's what the Gemara says. The Chumash uses the term, the verb, v'nitmo, v'nitmo, v'nitmo. It tells you, achal abal, v'echal abal, v'echal uchumah. But why did the Chumash use such a strange verb? It doesn't mean nitmo. It means nesra. She becomes asur labal, asur ala boil, and asur b'chumah. Why say v'nitmo to be merami? Is that there's a din in tumah v'tahara that depends on two verses three. Namely, safek tumah b'shu sayochet sveka tomeh, so it's either one Rishu Sarabim or the other. If it's one Rishu Sarabim or the other, Tosis says, Madura Sa'akum are a Rishu Sayochit, because there are walls around it. Madur is an apartment. Yeah, you can have walls around it, but if you have three people, let's say the Gemara says in the beginning of Chulin, the Beis HaMikdash also has walls around it, but you usually have more than three people there. Beis HaMikdash is usually crowded. So the Beis HaMikdash will most of the time will be, there'll be a crowd of three people every inch of the way. So anything that happens, any Sofik Tumah in the Beis HaMikdash should really be treated as a Sofik Tumah B'shus HaRabim, because they have three people. So just because you have walls around it, the way Tosfos words it, V'dura Sa'akum is a B'shus HaYochid Hein, and the Din said it's a Sofik Tumah B'shus HaYochid Sveika Tomei. That's Tosfos Kasha. Yeah. So the answer is, there's a Gemara in the, there's a Tosefta quoted at the end of the first Perek in Ksubis, where the Tosefta says, let's say you have a Sofik Tuma B'shus HaYochid, there are 10 different things, I touch one of the 10 things, 10 different dead animals, 9 of them are not Metame, and one of them is Metame. So the 9... So the odds are 9 to, and I don't know which one I touched. So the odds are 9 to 1 that I'm still tahor, because 9 of the dead animals that I touched, the shmona shrotzim amurim atoira, I'm metame b'maga. And if it's nivlas behema v'chayit, it's metame mago masa. So let's say it's one of the shrotzim, but it's not one of the shmona shrotzim. It's a different sheretz. So it's not metame at all. It's not metame at all. Or if you have, let's say, a Nivla Saif Tomei. Nivla Saif Tohar is Metame Abes Abli if he's fallen. Nivla Saif Tohar is not Metame anything. Nivla Saif Tomei is not Metame at all. Only Nivla Saif Tohar is Metame Abes Abli when you swallow. So there are 10 things, and I touched for sure one of the 10 things, Bishus HaYochid, and the odds are 9 to 1 that I'm Tohar. So then the din is you go Basarab. That's not called the Safik Tumah B'shus. Safik Tumah B'shus HaYochid is only if it's 50-50. But if it's a Raiv, the odds are 9 to 1. Then the Gemara, in the end of the first Perek in Ksubis, quotes a Tosefta that if the odds are 9 to 1, you have a Raiv. So whenever you have a Raiv, that's not called the Safik. But the Mishnah says, Safik Tumah B'shus HaYochid Sveika Tomei, even if you have a Svek Sveika. So isn't every Svek Sveika a Raiv? It's 50-50, maybe A, maybe B, and even if it's B, maybe C, maybe D. So isn't every Svek Sveika, isn't it really 75-25? So that's a famous Tshuvas HaRashba. The Shach quotes it in Yerideh, Simen Kuf Yud, the next to the last Simen and the first Chelek Yerideh. First Chelek Yerideh ends with Simen Kuf Yud Aleph. That's about Shtei Kederis. But Simen Kuf Yud is a long, long Simen, very long famous Simen about Klali Svek Sveika. So the Shach there quotes a line from the Tshuvas HaRashba that Svek Sveika mitam Roiv and possibly Odif mi Roiv. Svek Sveika is also a Roiv because it's 50-50 whether it's A or B. And even if it's B, it's 50-50 whether it's C or D. So they're tutzdodim lahakil. So that's 50-50. 50% lahakal, then another 25%. So it adds up to be 75%. So that's what the Rashba writes, that the Svek Sveika works, Svek Sveika, you make a lana din deraisa because mitam roif. But not everyone agrees to that. There's room to argue the point as follows. Let's say there's a din teren din imaminis, and there are three dayonim. Same thing would apply if you have a din in the Fosh's case and 23 dayonim, but it's easier if you have three dayonim. Dinimamnis, you have a dintara 3 dayanim. So each dayan has a different opinion. Two of them agree halacha lemaisa what the din is, but for two totally different reasons. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, the three dayan, each one has a totally different opinion. Bottom line, Reuven and Shimon agree, and Levi holds pater. Reuven and Shimon hold chai, but they agree chai mishnei taimim. Reuven says that Shimon, everything Shimon said is wrong. Shimon says everything that Reuven said is wrong. Bottom line, they both agree. So that's a big discussion in the Shach. Whether if you have a roiv, it's 2-1. The dayanim are split and the din tara 2-1. But the two dayanim who agree, bottom line, disagree with each other. And akotze la kotze. He says, everything you said is wrong. I hold like you, bottom line, for a different reason. He said, everything you said is wrong. So do you say you have 2-1 and the two win? Or do you say, no, you have 1-1-1? That's a roiv mishnei taimim. You have a roiv of 2-1, but each one has a whole different shita. So if you hold that a roiv mishnei taimim is not a roiv, then you can't say that sveik sveik and mitam roiv. So the pashta says that that's what Tosfos is saying. That just like the Tosefta quoted at the end of the first perek in Ksuba says, sofik tumim b'shu sayochid sveik atomi if you have 50-50. But if I touched one of 10 dead animals, 9 of the dead animals are not metame, and one is metame. So the odds are 9-1 that I'm tahar. So you don't say, I touched it in Rishu Sayach. You don't say, Safik Tama, Rishu Sayach, it's fekatame. No, it's 9-1. You go bus arrive. Arrive is not 50-50. But if you have a svek sveke, the first suffix is 50-50. The second suffix is 50-50. So that's svek sveke. So then you say, Safik Tama, Rishu Sayach, it's fekatame. So the Pashtus and Tesis is, and you don't say, Svek Svek and Mitam Roiv. You don't say it's 50-50 and another 25-25, so it becomes 75-25. You don't say like that. That's a Roiv Mishnei Taimim. You're mitzarf two different considerations to make it into a Roiv. Roiv has to be Mitam Echad. What's the Rashba going to do with Tesis Kasha? That's a good question. But that's the Pashtus with Tesis answers. That why do you say, why do you say over here, Nachamol, Yishlam al-Dami ha-Sveika, l'sha-Sveika, ha-Maidis, l'maim she'ebo, nefel, Dami l'sofik bi, inami yama. Eima achalte odi, m'sha-Sveika, sofik ha-Rogel hu. The second answer I've tasted, it's a roiv. Sofik ha-Rogel, it's a roiv garua, but it's still a roiv. So when you have a roiv, then it's not called the sofik tumah. When you have a roiv, it's not called the sofik tumah, it's only when you have a sofik ha-Shokul. When you have a roiv, it's not called the sofik tumah. If you have a svek sveke, that's still called the sofik tuma because a roiv mishnei taimim is not mitzarf yachad to constitute the roiv. Yeah, that's an important thesis. So then the Gemara is going to discuss the next example of a case of sofik motzim dei vaday. Again, what was the topic against sofik motzim vaday? We normally have a rule, ruba v'chazaka, Ruba Odif, because Roiv is a Mevarer and Chazok is just a Din Hanhoge. But Roiv is only a Mevarer if it's a Roiv Bori, if it's a Roiv Garua, Roiv up 65%, that's also just a Din Hanhoge. So if it's only a Din Hanhoge, so Ruba v'Chazok Hashkulim, that's a Din Hanhoge pulls you in one direction, the other Din Hanhoge pulls you in the other direction. There's going to be Shkulim. So that's called Ein Sofik Beitzim Devada, a weaker Roiv, a Roiv Garua, is not going to beat out a chazoka. Vada means a chazoka, because chazoka is a din hanhoga and a rev garu is a din hanhoga. So the Gemara quotes the din chodesh ameis. In the days towards the end of the Baisheni period, they introduced a whole institution of chover and am ha'aretz. Meikar adin deraisa, a Jew seems to be a little observant, and he says that this. The peris grew at my farm, and I was mafish chumas and maisus. So I say, Eidechadem beisurim. And even if you don't want to trust him, you're not so convinced that he's so observant. So, but Rova Amharitz am asrinhein. The Gemara tells him, Rova the Amharitz were careful about tafrashas chumas and maisus. Only a miut were not. So there are two reasons to be mako. First of all, this Amharitz, the guy's not so observant. First of all, he tells me that it's kosher. He was mafresh chumas amaisus. It's not an isa tevel. And secondly, even if he wouldn't say anything, we know that Rav Amharitz mafresh chumas amaisus. So it should be mutam mitam roiv. So nonetheless, the Chachamim made a din that an Am Haaretz is Zeno Neman Alamaisis. What's the definition of Am Haaretz? So there's a different, there's a big machlokes Satanoim. Am Haaretz doesn't mean an ignoramus that doesn't know how to learn. So one opinion in the Tanoim and Am Haaretz is one is not careful about Tumah V'Tara. One opinion in Am Haaretz is one is not careful about giving his children a Jewish education. He doesn't send his children to yeshiva. One sheet says he doesn't say Kriya Shema every day. He doesn't wear tzitzis. Different opinions in the Tanoim. What's the definition of Am Haaretz? But that in the days of the Tanoim, there was the, towards the end of the Bai Sheni period, one of the Kohanim Gedolim made this takana that you can't trust an Am Haaretz. So if he tells us that he was Mafresh Shumas Amaisis, you cannot accept it, and you have to be Mafresh all over again on your own. You have to be Mafresh Mechadash. Yeah, unless the Am Haaretz is Mekabel Dibri Chaveiros in the presence of three religious Jews. Let's say there are three people who have the status of a Chaver. Chaver means a religious person who is Makbed on Trumas and Maisus, and it is Makbed on Tumah V'Tara, and does send his children to yeshiva. That he gives them a Torah education. So if an Am Haaretz accepts, commits himself in the presence of a dozen of three, that he will observe all the laws of Trumas and Maisus, so he becomes a chaver, just like there's an institution of gerus. A non-Jew can convert if he comes to the presence of a bezin, comes in a bezin, in the presence of a bezin of three Jewish people, and he commits himself, he pledges to observe all the mitzvahs, and then he does a bris milah. If it's a man, then he's tovel and a mikveh, so then he becomes a Yisrael. So here you can be in the kabbal de chaveris in the presence of a bezin of three. There's a difference. Let's say a non-Jew converts and he becomes Jewish, and then he falls back into non-observance. So the Gemara says that even if he returns back to his original religion, the Geirus was Chal. It depends how soon after the conversion does he convert back. Does he go back to his original religion? If he just converts in order to marry a girl and nothing changed, he never davened and he never said Kriya Shema, he never watzvah, never kept anything. He just converted the day before the wedding, and then he went through the wedding. He never observed any mitzvahs. So the whole conversion was a fraud. That's not a conversion. But if for a couple of months or a couple of weeks or a couple of years, that's a question of how long. If for a while he converted and he was keeping mitzvahs, and then he slacked off and he went back to his former style of living and he worships Avodah Zarah. So then the Gemara says he means Israel. He means Jewish. You don't say he undoes the conversion. If a person was an Am Haaretz and is Mekabel Dibri Chaveiros in the presence of the Bezin of three, and then he slacks off and he becomes like an Am Haaretz again, he's not careful anymore about Trumas and Maisus, and he stops sending his children to yeshiva, so he loses the status of Am Haaretz. He loses the status of a Chaver. He becomes an Am Haaretz again. Not the same as Geirus. Once a Yisrael, he can't become back a Nochri. But even though you became... There's a question, what about a Ger Toshav? A Nochri who pledges, who commits himself in the presence of the Bezin of three Jewish people, that he's going to observe the Sheva Mitzvah, has a special status of a Ger Toshav. What are the special dinim of a Ger Toshav? So one din is, it's a mitzvah to give them tzedakah. Mitzvah lahachayosa, mitzvah to give them tzedakah. What's another din? You know, Amir al-Nochri is an Issa deraisa. It says in Aseres Adibus, Lasas Kamalacha to Minchaitecha, the Gercha Shebisharecha. So Gemara says, the Gercha Shebisharecha, the Ger is Atta. He's Jewish. And Gemara says, no, Gercha Shebisharecha means Ami Waliakum is Zosim and Atoira by a Ger Toshav, even though he's not Jewish. What's another din of Ger Toshav? He goes to Ore Miklot. If he kills Bishogig, usually a Nochri kills Bishogig, there's no institution of Ore Miklot for Nochrim. But the psukim by Ori Miklot at the end of Chumash Bamidbar say beferish that the din of Ori Miklot applies to the Ger Toshav. If the Ger Toshav killed B'shog, there are very few dinim, less than 10, maybe less than 5. I forgot. Rav Velbalos Soloveitchik has a very short list of the dinim. So what if, let's say, a Nochri accepted upon himself to become a Ger Toshav? Ger Toshav means he commits himself to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And then we see he's not so careful. He's cheating on income tax, Gezel. He's violating dinim, he's violating Eid Menachah, he's violating some of the dinim. So Rav Velbal assumes that Rav Poshet, that he loses his status as a Ger Toshav. Ger Toshav is like, Ger Toshav is an institution deraisa. Chaver is only a din midrabanan. But just like by Chaver, he was a Chaver, and then he slacks off, it becomes back again in Am Haaretz. So Rav Velbal assumes that a Ger Toshav also, even though he was mekabel the status of ger toshav, he committed himself to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs ben Anoach in the presence of the Bezna of three. But later on, when he slacks off, so he loses his special status of a ger toshav. Yeah, okay. So Blineta will have to continue tomorrow. Tomorrow is a regular day. Wednesday, normal day. Okay. Blineta. Oh, tomorrow morning is the midterm. It's not, I don't think it's too hard, a midterm. You should do well. You should do well. Okay. So that'll probably be between 10 and 12 in the morning, I imagine. And then in the afternoon, a quarter to one, we'll continue to learn. Maybe this Thursday, instead of continuing to learn more Gemara, maybe we'll do something on the Parsha instead. Maybe we'll talk about the Hilchas Mila, the whole Mitzvah Mila, all the Dinim are Bris Mila, based on the Psukim in today's Seder, most of the Dinim. So maybe Bilinada, this Thursday, instead of learning more Gemara, tomorrow we'll learn Gemara, and on Thursday we'll do Inyanim Abris Mila. Okay, so get it, bring a Yerideya on Thursday. If you want to learn Hilchas Mila, it's in Yerideya Chela Gimel. Very good. Have a good day.